The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be giggling when I'm reading the gospel. I should be serious, but I wasn't. There's just something that tickles my funny bone when Jesus tells these two really kind of off-the-wall stories, one about a guy, you know, building a tower, and then, oh, you know, here's Jesus who, you know, has dedicated his entire life to standing in nonviolent opposition to Imperial Rome, whose motto is, you know, peace at any price, including war, death, you know, destruction, all that good stuff. You know how it works. And so he's dedicated his entire life to peace, and he's telling a story about a king preparing to wage war. I mean, this is called biblical irony, okay? And so he tells these two stories and then completely out of the blue says, "So, if you want to follow me, you got to give up all your possessions." What? I mean, there isn't even a connection there, okay? Which is typical in many of the gospel readings. And just to get us warmed up for these two oddball stories that Jesus tells, he launches this part of the teaching by saying, whoever... No, I got to read it. I'm still giggling about that disconnect. "Whoever does not hate family cannot be my disciple, and whoever doesn't carry the cross cannot be my disciple." So, let's get to it, folks, and talk about hating family. I mean, you know, we got to unpack this somehow. So, this past month, just so I don't forget, you'll notice that Betty is not here. She fell. She's had surgery. It was announced last week, I suspect, and she's in rehab. Marietta and I are going to take her communion when we're finished with the services here. So we'll definitely keep her in our prayers. So this past month, Marietta and I have just been on the run. We had a little bit of time. We had a few days early in August to do some projects around the house, which we've been wanting to do and just didn't have time for. And then we packed up our stuff, and we packed up the car, drove down to Morro Bay, had a wonderful couple of days with some friends of ours that we've met through a couples retreat that we do with my spiritual director in June. And we stayed with Paul and Jim for a couple of days, and then the plan was to go to Los Angeles and see other friends. Well, in the meantime, we got the call from my youngest sister, who told us that my dad, was having surgery, a hernia operation. They had to open him up. They couldn't do it laparoscopically, and being 87 years old, nobody really knew how he was going to respond to this surgery, and my sister and her husband can only be with him the day of his surgery, and then they had to leave. And so Mariette and I, we cleared the decks, we drove from Morro Bay to Phoenix, yeah, which I thought was going to be this easy little hopper, and oh my God, was I wrong, and especially having to drive through Los Angeles, of all places. I mean, it was just a grind to get there. We show up on his doorstep, and he greets us at the door, and he just had surgery that morning. It's like, what are you doing here? He says, I'm fine. It's like, what? And so he takes 3 pain pills, says he doesn't like them anymore, stops taking the pain pills, and he's good to go. And there we are in Phoenix. It's 115 degrees. It was unbelievable. It was like a blast furnace down there. Mariette has never experienced anything like it before. And we're looking around going, what are we even doing here? And so we stayed. We did our duty. We stayed for a few days, made sure that, you know, he was squared away, did some projects for him around the house and whatnot. And then as the weekend approached, thought, okay, he seems to be doing fine. So we're just going to try to pick up where we left off, but not able to see a whole bunch of people. So we ended up seeing my younger brother and his family one evening. We stayed the night with them and then proceeded on back into Los Angeles, up into North Hollywood, to stay with other friends of ours, the friends who introduced the two of us 5 years ago in Indianapolis at General Convention. And it was wonderful to see Cliff and Kirby. I mean, it just was so refreshing. And then, so we get in the car, we drive back home, we're here a couple of days, do some quick laundry, water the trees, hop on a plane, pack our stuff, and off to Boston to see Marietta's mom for her 80th birthday. And we did our duty. We honored her, we were there for her, we celebrated with her, we ran around Boston, saw a whole bunch of cool stuff, hopped on the plane, and here we are. And I got to tell you, we're exhausted. it wasn't the vacation we had originally imagined. We put, and thank God, just for some reason, I said, you know what, let's rent a car. Let's not put the miles on our car. 2,200 some miles later, right, back home, it's like, good thing we did that. And here's what we're attempting to unpack, okay, from this time away from you, and it's this. We noticed when we were with family, my dad and her mother, that the life was getting sucked out of us for lots of different reasons. And in both cases, in Phoenix, Marietta, my wife, imploded while we were there, and then in Boston, I imploded. And both occurrences had to do with, you know, family issues, and you know, and just trying to wrap our brains around and attempting to absorb these various family things that have been going on for, you know, generations, have been set in motion for generations, and here we are, we're part of the deal, and we're present and accounted for and just barely able to breathe. And the contrast with our friends in Morro Bay and North Hollywood was stunning. I mean, these are people, both these couples that we know, both gay couples. We noticed that all our best couple friends are gay. Explain this to me, Marty. I don't understand it.
It's your aura.
It's the aura. Yeah, it's got to be. Anyway, but these are people who have dedicated their lives to service in their communities. I mean, they are completely and utterly community-minded, looking out for the welfare of people in their communities, and dedicated to making their communities better places to live. And while we were with those people, we were filled. I mean, it's like we found ourselves reconnected to the planet. Our feet were planted firmly on the earth once again. While with family, it was like, do you remember the old, before there were video games, what did they call those things in arcades? Pinball machines. Pinball machines. You remember the pinball machines? It was like, you know, dodge this, reflect this. And all of the conversations were about, you know, who's after who in the family? Who's not talking to who in the family? Who absconded with the china, you know, in the family? And we're going, oh my God, who cares? Nobody, who cares? And it was sucking the life out of our souls. Now, I don't know if that touches what Jesus is trying to say in this gospel passage about hating your family in order to be a disciple, but I think we got really close this August. I mean, really close. And we're still trying to, you know, unpack this whole experience. Again, the contrast was stunning. And I think what we've discovered a couple of things, and I suspect we will discover more things about ourselves, but here was one of them, is that we need desperately to be with people who have dedicated their lives to service in their community, who are looking to make the world a better place for everyone that lives on the planet. That would be you. No pressure. But we need that desperately, because I think one of the things we discovered is that when we're with people whose world gets real small, you know, that revolves around us versus them and all of this sort of personality before principles, all this kind of self-centered, selfish stuff, that it takes a toll. And it really does. I mean, we'd love to claim that we're grown adults and this family stuff doesn't affect us, but by God, it does. And so, yeah, we were gone for the month. Somebody asked if it was restful. The answer is no. And I cannot tell you how glad we are to be home and here with you. We're so grateful you're still here. And we're going to continue to unpack this experience. I mean, it was pretty wild. And again, as full-grown adults, you'd think, oh, we've got this all figured out. We have our families wired, and we know how to sort of navigate all this and deal with it. Ah! Not even close. And so, again, how grateful we are to be among you and to be a part of a community like this, whose mission is to embody the love and the compassion of God in the world wherever we happen to find ourselves, both here in Carson City or anywhere else on the globe. And again, the passage in Luke's gospel where Jesus is talking about hating your family, you know that it's not intended that we take this literally, right? It's called Semitic or excuse me, Middle Eastern hyperbole. He's exaggerating. Although in our case, maybe not so much. But again, just to go on record, we honored our parents, by God, because that's how it works, right? And then get home as fast as we can. So while we were away, I continued with my daily meditations, and one of the books that I've been using this year that I've shared with you is by an author named Eduardo Galeano, who is from the Southern Hemisphere and has a whole different spin on, you know, things that go on this earth. And lo and behold, right in the midst of our time away, he writes a meditation entitled Family. And he says this: as people know, in Black Africa and Indigenous America, your family is your entire village with all its inhabitants, both living and dead. And your relatives aren't only human. Your family also speaks to you in the crackling of the fire, in the murmur of running water, in the breathing of the forest, in the voices of the wind, in the fury of thunder, in the rain that kisses you, and in the bird song that greets your footsteps. You and I, as people of God, as followers of Jesus, are citizens of the earth. And it is a vision of an earth blessed and loved by God that you and I lean into. And that's the vision, folks, that feeds our souls. I mean, that's the life that gives life to you and me. And to be connected with and surrounded by people who have dedicated their lives to service is what we need more than anything. Thank God for you. Take a moment.